spearhead it. Somebody's got to take the initiative to not just talk about it, but to lead it. And so we thank you, Sister Vicki, because you definitely do a good job of leading. I did want to, you know, I had Jeannie on my mind, you know, this week. Something was going on in the church, and I needed her. And, of course, she's not here. And so it got me thinking. I walked in her office, and I saw her favorite joke. And so she has it in her office. So I thought I would do Jeannie's favorite joke today. Are you ready? She has a picture of me. I'm just playing. Now, here's what she said. Ready? Sally had lived a good life, having been married 4 times. Now she stood at the pearly gates. The angel at the gate said to her, "I see that you first of all married a banker, then you married an actor, then you married a pastor, and finally you married an undertaker. Why? Does this seem appropriate for a Christian woman?" She said, "Oh, yes, it is, St. Peter." She said, "It's 1 for the money, 2 for the show, 3 to make ready, and 4 to go." All right. And there's a little bit of ringing in here, bro. I don't know if y'all hear it or not.
Yes, we do.
Okay. I can hear it up here, too. And it's not cool. Not cool. There's part of the ringing out. Amen. Okay. That better?
Yeah.
Okay. Rebuilding your focus, part 3. Now this wants to really, really, really pay attention to there. Every sermon should be a fulfilling sermon. Every sermon should have some takeaways. Every sermon should, for many people, be a landmark thing. Today, this sermon is a landmark sermon for everyone that hears it. Not only is it a landmark sermon, it is something that will bring spiritual growth, spiritual life, spiritual enrichment if you take heed to what we're going to talk about. We started last week and we're going to finish it today, but it's very, 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 very important that you pay careful attention to this. Take notes down. If you want a copy of this, I can get you a copy of this. But this right here is going to help you get through some bumpy areas that we've got coming up. I mean, there's a lot of bumpy areas because I don't know what you've heard, but on all the news outlets and all the stuff I've been listening to, they have been arresting terrorists in the big cities. Some of them were arrested at the border, and then weeks later they're still found in the big cities. So it's like they're being stopped at the border, but they're still getting in. And there has been warnings to watch out for what could be happening here in the U.S. And you know that in the U.S. they're actually burning Israeli flags in the protests, and some of them burnt American flags in the protests in the same way all over the world. And it's not just saying, they're saying a lot of chants, death to Israel and death to the United States. So this is not a time for us to mosey about. This is the time for us to be ready for whatever may come our way. You know that God's got us. Amen? Somebody say God's got us.
God's got us.
Okay. Get your Bible up. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Stand for the reading of the word. Philippians chapter 3. We started last week. I'm going to give the first 5 quickly, and then we're going to the last 5. And remember, please remember, this is a landmark sermon. This is something that I live by. This is something that we all need to focus on versus focusing on what's going on around us. Just pay attention to what's going on around us. And I see it, but if all you do is focus on what's going on around us, you'll live by fear. Pay attention to what's going on around us, but focus on this, and you will not live by fear. I'm concerned, but I'm not afraid. Amen? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. You got your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
You don't say it will be. All right. Philippians 3 and 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but it's one thing I do." Y'all say one thing.
One thing.
"Forgetting those things which are behind." Say that. Say forgetting.
Yeah.
We're so busy dragging around what's behind that we can't even go forward. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's stretch our forth hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We know, God, that you're almighty. You're all-powerful, God. We know, God, that you already told us that this was coming. You already know ahead of time. You told us what was coming and what the remedy was. And, Father, you told us, even with all the stuff going around us, they didn't stand with Israel. I'm going to protect. Stand. 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 Not only that, but stand in your household. Stand for your family. Stand for what's going on around us. Father, we thank you that you have not forgotten us. And we know that because you already told us it was coming. And we thank you, God, because on the knowledge of this coming, you also said that you were coming. And you're going to take us home. And so we thank you for all of this. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said,
amen,
amen, amen, and amen. Y'all can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. Now press forward. Press forward. I switched up on you, didn't I? Press forward. Press forward. Press forward. You know, Lynn and I very seldom get a chance to go out, so the night we're going out, and the lady come up, the little waitress, and she said, check, sir. My normal answer is, I'd rather have cash. And so I went like this, and Melinda was waiting for it. And I said, all those people over there, they all decided they were going to pitch in and pay for this. And Linda said, whoa, you threw a curveball. I said, no. I said, sometimes it's good just to keep things kind of shook up. Amen? So I said, rebuilding your focus. Let's get ready. This is very, 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 very important. There's going to be some slides in here that you did not see last week, along with the five things that we talked about. So there's a lot of new stuff in here too, so get ready. God uses this rebuild mode, rebuilding our focus, to draw us out of complacency, to draw us out of collapse. Don't raise your hand, but how many in here would say, I have or I'm in danger of becoming spiritually complacent? Or, I may not be there, but I'm in danger of having a spiritual collapse in my life. Wow. That's some tough stuff. Especially with what's going on around us right now. So it draws us out of complacency and collapse, and it draws out of us freshness. And then we just keep going forward and keep moving. So it's a good thing, not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So, rebuilding our focus. When you're rebuilding your focus, of course, our focus should start on God and start on His Word. Because His Word is quick and powerful, meaning that it actually gives life. Notice it gives life. When God sends out His Word, it does not return void. It comes back to Him and it accomplishes what He sent it forth to do. It has the ability. God has the ability. Is anything too hard for God? And finally, there's a mission to seek and save. And so watch this now. This is very, 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 very powerful. Distraction. Distraction is any type of activity, any type of action, any type of attitude that consumes you, your time, and your interest to the point that God becomes a blur. Matter of fact, if what you're doing is in the front and God's in the rearview mirror, maybe, just maybe, you need to examine yourself and put God in front and put everything else in that rearview mirror, or figure out what's taking you away from God. So now, here, this, watch this now. Be real careful. This is, I'm going to sit down for this one. This is where we're going to camp for just a minute. One of Satan's chief tools is distraction. Did you know that? You're thinking he's coming at you, and he's going, boom, where he's coming at you, and he's throwing all this stuff. He just wants to distract you. As long as he can distract you, he's got you. If he can distract you, he can prevent you from being all you can be for God. All he's got to to say no to distractions. Amen? And remember, distractions aren't always a sin. It's anything that you put ahead of God. Anything that you put ahead of God is going to be a distraction. So watch. Satan loves it. Matter of fact, you know, this is one of the greatest tools that Satan uses. Because first, it's a subtle tool. A subtle tool. Because it sneaks up. It is often sneaks up so much that it's not even noticed. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 3:1-5 that the serpent, the devil, the serpent, was more subtle than any other creature in the garden. He knows how to get your attention. You know, when you ride by a wreck or you ride somewhere and the people in front of you stop and it's trying to tell you, come on, come on, come on. But they do something that East North Carolina calls rubbernecking. Do you know, Satan does the same thing to us. Here's Christians. Son of a, we need to fight! We're busy rubbernecking. We're not even paying attention to what's going on in front of us. This subtle tool sneaks up. And the Bible says that Satan himself can deceive. Don't be deceived and don't be marveled that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. So it's a subtle tool. It's also a deceptive tool because it makes you feel effective temporarily. Wow. It's a patient tool. It's like a trap waiting to be sprung. One of the chief tools that Satan used in the Old Testament was ambush. God's people were always being ambushed. In the New Testament, when you see it talking about Satan's devices, part of his devices in the Greek is ambush. He takes you when you're not expecting, when you least expect it, everything's going hunky-dory, and he ambushes you. And before you know it, he's taking the breath out of you. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13, take the whole armor. Don't just pick which parts you like best. I like the foot. I like my feet covered with the gospel of peace. I like the breastplate of righteousness. Or I don't like that one because that's too bulky. That's too much I got to do. And you just start picking and choosing which parts of the armor. He said, no. Take the whole armor. Not part of it. You know, remember I told you this 1,000 times about when DC was a baby and I kept trying to eat his cereal and he wouldn't eat it. And so I said, I got it. Put bananas in your cereal, Mama. So she put bananas in your cereal. I said, now just walk away. When we come back, it'll all be gone. When we come back, and I was partially right, the bananas were gone. The cereal was still there. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been a banana Christian? Wow. I'm eating the sweet stuff. I'm leaving the cornflakes alone. Take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Antihistamine. Stand. Against the wiles, the subtlety, the ambush of the Diablos, the liar, the accuser of the brethren, the deceiver. So, it's a patient tool. He'll lay it. A liar will lie in wait for days, hungry, waiting, as it's following the lion, a pride of lions. And it's waiting, or not pride, but pride of lions will follow along and follow a herd. And the pride is waiting. Hungry until the herd starts thinning out a little bit. They get a little, they're not anxious anymore because they don't see the lions hiding. And then the young ones wander off, the sick ones wander off. And that pride pounces on that unsuspecting victim. So, it's a cooling tool. If it can distract you, potential, it's got power, and it's got position. And it, when we have an undivided focus, wow, what can God do through us and with us? I remember as a football coach, and I always, for some reason, I always liked getting the defensive line. I always got defense, whether it was in league ball or whether it was actually school ball, I always wound up with the defense. And the crazy thing was, the biggest, baddest players that looked like they could just grab people and throw them out of the way were the ones getting the flag started on. They're the ones that were breaking the tackles when their tackles were broken. And the little itty bitty guys were the ones that would get it done. And I started paying attention and watching. And the big guys, they were just trusting on their size. They didn't even really practice hard. They didn't even try hard. Those young guys, they knew that they were small. And in order to take down those big guys, they would really pay attention. Not only would they pay attention, but when they handled their tackles, they did their tackles just like they were taught. Not these guys just kind of going, oh, you know, the big old guy, oh, I'm gonna get him. No, these were itty-bitty guys that were taking down giants all the time because they did not have an undivided focus. They weren't worried about their self. They weren't distracted. They just wanted to get the job done. And so sometimes we'd have one of these little guys on defense, and they're going, ah, look at these little bitty fellas, until they got hit a few times. Then they no longer talked about those itty-bitty fellas. Amen? So here we go. Again, here's the focus. We've got to pay attention to what's going on around us. So there was 10 focal points. We're going to do 5 from last week, and then we're going to 5 more. Number one, just always remember this. Number one, when you're feeling like you're being defeated, when you feel like Satan is not throwing 10%, you feel like he's getting 100% thrown at you, and you don't have any percent to come back, remember this, he called you. And it wasn't to get you to this place so he could drop you. Amen? God didn't call you here so that you can become the laughingstock of the whole world, being knocked down and dragged out. God's got power. Philippians 1:6, I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his coming, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. God's going to keep on working in you. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Number two, God's going to build a church. Not us. Oh, we take care of the outward part, yes, but God is building his church. Matthew 16:18, and I tell you, you are Peter. The Greek is Petros, a large piece of rock. And upon this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it. Be strong to its detriment and hold out against it. Amen. Number three, God did not promise to deliver you from the fire, but he did promise to walk with you through him. God never said, you know, look, every time I hear that song, what was her name? What was that lady's name? When she said, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Look, God didn't promise us a rose garden. Amen? We've all been through things. I can look out here and I can think about the battles that some of y'all had to fight and are still fighting, and the battles I've had to fight and still fighting. But I'm here to tell you something. God never promised there wouldn't be battles. We're soldiers. You know, a guy that a captain does not become a good captain on smooth seas. A captain becomes a great captain when he's on rough water. God's got something for us. Amen? So look. But now thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43:1-2. Amen. Number four. There's more in store for us. Amen. This isn't it. They're just trying to say this isn't it. has become hard. Here's what I'm going to park. Anybody out there, God used you. And after he used you mightily in the harvest, instead of regaining strength, you become hard. Think about it. God used you. You knew God used you. You knew God used you mightily. But now, as you're waiting for God to reassign, to give you another job, instead of getting back into fighting and developing, you become hard. Matter of fact, how can you tell you become hard? Well, number one is you don't get a joyful feeling about working for God anymore. Instead of, oh boy, it's oh no. Well, you couldn't wait to do something for God. Now you're going, God, can't you find somebody else? Where some of the tragedies you see used to break your heart, and you would immediately go to prayer. Now you see it and say, God, I'm glad it's not me. Not only you know you got hard, and things are coming your way, and you can make a difference, you say, God, I already have my turn. Send somebody else. And you start talking like I just said, you're developing a hard spirit and a hard heart. And God said, you break it up. Not me. You break up your fallow ground. So you've been hard, you harvested, you're hard, now you need to be, listen, now it needs to be rebroken and replanted, reseeded. Once that fallow ground is rebroken and reseeded, it becomes just as powerful, even more powerful than it was before. And then finally from last week, and then we're going right in. This is going to be so cool. When we obey the voice of God, we are unstoppable. I got to say that one again. When we obey the voice of God, we become unstoppable. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void without producing any effort or being useless. It shall accomplish that which I please, that which I purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. Yes. And that was last week. Yes. Y'all ready to go again? Y'all ready for the next five? Amen. Remember, this is monumental. This is something that will help you as you're trying to break up that fallow ground. This is something that will help you when you're trying to prevent that fallow ground from becoming hard. This will be something that the fallow ground has become hard, and it'll help you break it up and replant seed, and watch a mighty, mighty, mighty harvest. I love that. Be strong, be strong, be brave, and stand. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Here you go. We're going to do these, and then also do these five. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Have courage, be strong, don't back down or give in to Satan and his plan. 1 Corinthians 16:13. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. That one sounds like you get to be old, you quit. But this is King James talk. So we're going to do a little bit of other than King James talk with this. Ready? Watch ye. Be on guard. Remember, Satan's looking for an opportunity to attack. Stand fast in the faith. Persevere. Do not deviate in your trust. I trust you, God. Let me tell you something. Remember, we've heard it so many times. When you cannot see his hand, when you cannot see God's hand, you can always trust his heart. Always. Always. So, here it goes. Here's that famous line. Quit you like men. It means to act in a mature manner, not to be tossed. It means to stand. Quit you like men. Not tossed every wind of doctrine, I love it when I'm talking to one of y'all or talking to other people. I'm talking, I'm saying, we got this problem going on, or we got this going on. Used to love it at Fountain when I did this. I call them engineers and I go, we got this problem going on, and here's what they would say. I love it. They say, I'm on it. I'm on it. Talk to y'all, it's been many times. I talk to y'all and I tell you what's going on, what's happening. And I've heard y'all say it, you text it to me, or heard it. You'd say, I'm on it. I love it. It's only, what's it? I'm on it. Three words. But they're powerful. I'm on it. Now find somebody else, or but. But you like men. Be strong. Be strengthened by God. So, have courage, be strong, don't back down, don't give in to Satan and his plan. Number seven. At least you know there's 10, so admit that you know we're getting through. God didn't call you because of your greatness. Whew! That might be a surprise to some people, not here. There's been some guys I know over the years, they would have had a fit. God didn't call you because of your greatness. He called you because of his greatness. And he's still great even at times when you don't feel you are. Wow. That's powerful. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry and we receive mercy, we faint not. We got what we didn't even deserve, so we're not going to quit. God gave us this ministry that we did not deserve, so we're not going to quit. And verse 7 says, but we had this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When you're doing things great, when you're doing things, if everybody's just praising you, when you do things, and God starts, people start praising God, that's where it's at. You'll see me all the time when something's going on. And I say, man, that was awesome. I say, praise God. And I point up. Always point up. Always point up. And Fountain Power Bus, you go, man, that was awesome. Home run, David. Man, that was powerful. If they would get it done, I would do this. That's point up. Because it was God. Yes, yes, he has to use us. He uses us. But you got to remember, he's the one that did it. Through us. Amen? Ask a shepherd boy as he stood over mighty Goliath. Ask a prisoner as he stood as prime minister of the greatest country on the earth. Wow. Number 8, getting close. Getting knocked down in life is a given. Getting up and moving forward is a choice. The problem that you're facing now will not destroy you. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, the Amplified Version. We were hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are not perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, hard-driven, but we're not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. God's got you. Look at somebody say, God's got you.
God's got you.
And guess what? I mean, when I was on vacation, you know, we had all how many armbands, and it was just amazing. I had some that just God's got this and that, and it was amazing how whatever one I had on, and we got ministering to people, that was the one they needed because I had another one that says, God's got this, and either way we win, or either way I win. And so it didn't matter whichever one I had on. I didn't say, okay, I just picked one up out of a suitcase and put it on, go back out. And the person that I ministered to, that was what they needed. They said it was God doing it, not me. It was God. It was very powerful. How'd you know? I didn't. I still don't know. It's God. This problem's not going to destroy you. He made you for a unique, made you unique for a reason. You matter. Look at somebody and say you matter.
You matter.
You have a purpose, a kingdom purpose. that only you can fulfill. Amen? So, number nine. Here's a biggie. Stop comparing yourself to others. You ever do that? God, if I could just sing like this person, if I could just play like this person, if I could just do this like that person, if I could, if it's ifs and buts for candy and nuts, we'd have Christmas year round. Don't compare yourself to anybody. I've got identical twin brothers. They look so much like their own kids got them mixed up. They're 60 years old. They're 61. And people still get them mixed up. Just thank God I ain't got to be beat up by them anymore. That's why they made me so strong. I always had a fight too. But they look alike. They sound alike. But they're so different. You are unique. God gave you everything you need to carry out the ministry that He wants you to perform. The same God who called and empowered them did the same for you. Just maybe not in the same way. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Psalm 139:14. For he who motivated and fitted Peter and worked effectively through him for the mission to be circumcised, motivated and fitted me and worked through me also to the mission to the Gentiles. That's Paul talking. Paul could have said, why didn't you give me what you gave Peter? Or Peter could have said, why didn't you give me what you gave Paul? No. They both had their mission. And they both fulfilled their mission. This one right here. After you get all the rest of them and hold it, chew on it, digest it, chew on it some more, like a cow does its cud. Chew on it, digest it, chew on it, digest it. Number 10 is the kicker. Oh, I love this picture. See that? See that man getting back up. The final word, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Get ready. Here's your kicker. Stop praying for protection only. Let's sink in for a minute. Think about it. If all you do is pray for protection, you will never fully engage the enemy. All you do is pray for protection, you're going to find yourself huddled as the enemy comes through. Stop praying for protection, defense only, and start praying for boldness, offense. Stand strong. The Bible. Acts 4:29-31, the Amplified Version. This is after Peter and the guys had all been threatened by the Sanhedrin. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly. While you stretch out your hand to cure, to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. D.C. the other day, he'd been working 36-hour shift. And working on his BS, and so he's working, and I said, you're Linton, you've already got your BS. He said, yeah, Dad, I got one that was honorary, but now I got to get the real one. I got an honorary one for just being David Linton Jr. And he showed me, he sent me an address to look up, and it had a video of a group playing a song. And it was a very powerful song, and we talked a little bit about it, and I saw, you know, what pops up the next one up at the top. And this group was not necessarily a Christian group, but it was Christian influenced. Because I went and looked at several of the songs, they were all Christian influenced, that I read and saw. And there was one that was very, very powerful. The video was even more powerful because it's talking about bringing down the giant. And I showed the video, but the music's kind of strong, and I'm not sure everybody's pacemaker can handle. You ever hear Creed, the group Creed? Okay, this is like Creed style music called Saving Abel, which is got to be someone's Creed guy somewhere. But the video was showing bullies in school, and this little bitty fellow with a slingshot in his back pocket. And that little bitty fellow was going around making everything right that the bullies were doing. And at the end, he takes out his slingshot, and he holds it on the enemy. But the guy doing the bullying, and then the guy backs off. I just want to read the words. Wow. I said I couldn't have gotten any better time after looking at the. I was doing the sermon. I was working on the sermon. I was right there. In D.C. sentence. I'm going to read it to you. I hit the wall. I got back up and dusted off. I'm past the pain. I'm taking back all that I lost. I'm going to kick you off the throne. I'm going to hang your crown upon the wall. Yeah, your glory days are gone, gone, gone. Yeah, I'm bringing down the giant. I won't sit here undecided. When your world comes crashing down, I remind you. This is now the chorus. When your world comes crashing down, I remind you, I'm the one who's laughing loud in your face. Yeah, yeah, your karma's coming back here to find you. It's going to get a little violent, yes, because I'm bringing down the giant. Second verse. Too many lies built up inside you, bound to fall. Standing face to face, you're not so big after all. Take your bow, you've had your shot. Looking down, wow, you're on top. But now your glory days are gone, gone, gone. Yes, I'm bringing down the giant. I won't sit here undecided. In the chorus again. When your world comes crashing down, I remind you, I'm the one who's laughing loud in your face. Yeah, yeah, your karma's coming back to you to find you. This is going to get a little violent. Yes, because I'm bringing down the giant. Wow. I played that song and watched that little guy with his slingshot taking all those school bullies. And it was just so powerful and so powerful. And I thought about that thing and I said, you know what? That should be played in every church in the United States because it was so powerful. You have to keep your focus through the pain to get to those gains. Don't focus on your problems. Don't focus on the pain. And please don't focus on panic. Instead, focus on His promise. Focus on His power. Focus on His peace. Everybody in here has a part to play in God's plan. Everybody in here has a piece of the puzzle. Now, I heard a little story one time about the guy was just parked over in the parking lot, and he happened to notice the state truck come by, when the little big old yellow truck come by, one guy got up and took the postal diggers and dug a big old deep hole. When he got through, he went and climbed back in the truck, and the other guy come out and filled the hole back up. He said, "What were they doing?" They drove down another 20 foot. The guy got out, postal diggers dug a great old big hole. Went back and sat in the truck, and the other guy come back and filled the hole up. And they did it all the way down the block. The man was baffled. And so when they got down to the end of the block and got back in the truck, he rode over to the truck and just said, "Guys, can I ask y'all a question?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I've been sitting here for the last hour watching. When you get out, you dig a big old deep hole, tie back in the truck, another guy gets out of the truck, fills the hole back up, you drive down 10 foot, and 10 foot, and 10 foot. One gets out, digs the hole, the other one covers it up. What are y'all doing? Can I ask?" And I said, said, "We're planting trees, but the guy that does the planting's not here today." You get it. Next time you say, when God's putting it in your heart to help somebody, somebody else will do it. Remember, you're one of those people that's got a piece of that puzzle. And God's got you specifically endowed to put that piece of puzzle in the right place. And get ready to close. Brandon, come on up here, brother. This is the same challenge I issued last week, but I couldn't think of anything better. This had to be the same challenge. This week, make a conscious effort to examine your focus. Not only examine your focus, expect distractions. Distractions are there. It's going to be. And distractions don't have to be a big bad thing. It ain't be Satan come beating you up. It's a distraction. Just somebody getting your mind off what you're doing. That's all it is. Somebody getting your mind off what you're doing. We're sitting there, and I had the reclining chair up, and we got two cats now. One cat was nice and sweet and lovable, and that's called Gyro because she's always upside down. And Gyro's in between my legs and up here sitting on the reclining chair, and she's so sweet. And she leaned on back, and then she's going, "I love you." And then Oatmeal, I didn't even see it. Oatmeal come walking up and said, "Gyro ain't standing there like that." And while I'm looking out thinking how sweet Gyro was, all of a sudden a claw comes up and that cat jumps up and grabs my leg with those claws. Whoa. It was a good old scratch. And talk about a distraction. I might have to go change my wardrobe out of that distraction. So I don't have to be Satan bringing the bread cake. All kinds of distractions. Eliminate the unnecessary distraction. There's some distractions you can't eliminate. If you're a caregiver, there's distractions in there that you cannot fail. In your marriage, in your family, there's distractions that you cannot just throw to the side. You've got to stop and take care of it because that's part of your job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the unnecessary distractions. So after you've examined your focus and you're expecting distractions, and you eliminate the unnecessary distractions. Now examine your focus again. When you examine your focus again, expect God to use you in a better way. As you hone in your focus like never before. Of course, focus is follow one course until successful. And it was kind of crazy last week because as I'm working, reading this, I saw a piece of paper hanging out. had nothing to do with what I was preparing for. This is a piece of paper I had. So I pulled a piece of paper out and put it by the leg. It says, focus. F. Focus. F stands for fixed. O stands for one thing. C stands for Christ-centered. U stands for untangled. S stands for stretch. Wow. We got the Christmas season coming. I'm going to issue a challenge to the guys right now. Some of y'all guys might not have heard this, but I've already heard this multiple times. And unless the ladies have changed their mind, they want the guys to do Advent this year. Am I still correct? You want the guys to do Advent this year?
What?
Did you want the guys? Okay. Don't be distracted.
My parents just had me doing Advent this year.
That's right.
I'll set the candle up.
Okay. Look. Men are going to do Advent this year. Now, I know this might sound simple, but this is a challenge. We all ain't got to do it. One guy ain't got to do it all. We can all take it. There's enough guys in here. There's only 4 weeks. Surely we can find 4 guys. Let's get our focus. Here's our first challenge. Let's do Advent. Don't say anything. Let's show the ladies how to do it now, because ladies have done great. Let's just show them what we can do. Not better than men, but that we can do it too. Okay? So, that just came up out of nowhere. That's okay. I just threw that out there. So, expect God to use you like never before. All this stuff around us is breaking our focus. All the news outlets, all the stuff that's going on around us with Israel, all the stuff going around, the other nations coming at them. It was prophesied it's going to happen. Don't let it distract you. Keep up. You need to keep up, but at the same time, keep moving forward. God's got us. And if you're in a battle right now, remember, don't let the pain distract you. Keep moving forward. God's got you. Everybody stand. It's amazing to me. Especially, I've got ADHD. It doesn't take much for a squirrel to jump out in front of me and get me all over the place. Like my boys, my people, all my kids, they go, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. My wife, squirrel, squirrel. And even with all that, I still do my best to keep my focus on the mission. Jesus is coming back, but before he does, I know everybody says, "Look, we get this great revival, great revival, great revival, great revival." Yeah, people are going to get revived, but also there's going to be a big balance. And so the big revival and the violence, we need a balance in there. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. If you're here today, and you say, "Pastor, I've lost my focus. Or I'm losing my focus. I got that pile of ground that you're talking about. I was once used mightily by God, but now my heart's gotten hard. My spirit's gotten hard. Things are rough. Instead of drawing closer to God, I feel like I'm drawing away from Him. And I need you, God, to help me. And I'm talking to you today, if that's you, well, nobody's looking around here, your head's bowed, your eyes closed. But I'm talking to you right now. You've got that fallow ground. You've been used by God, but now that heart's gotten hard. But that spirit's gotten hard. Or you've lost that focus because of all the things that's happening around you. Nobody looking around, every eye closed, we just put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm losing that focus. Bless them, Lord, bless them, bless them. I'm losing my focus. I need you, God. Too many things have happened around me. It's trying to pull me out of this, it's trying to pull my attention. Help me to keep my focus. There's also those here that you still got your focus. But Satan's dragging so hard, trying his best to pull you away. To knowledge you, to get you to break that focus. That's why it's so important to examine your focus, expect distractions, eliminate the unnecessary, re-examine that focus, and trust God. If you're here today and you've got to do good, and you got to have focus, but you see the enemy trying to distract you, and you see the extra boost, put that hand up. I just need another boost. I need another boost. I need another boost. I need God to do something for me. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch everybody. Raise your hands. And those, Lord, that wanted to, I ask you right now, Lord, to minister in a very powerful way. Let your power be recognized. Let your name be lifted up. Let everything that Satan will use to distract us, help us to understand what that is. So when it comes our way, we can, with power and with authority, push it aside. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Also, if you got somebody home that wants to take communion, you come get one and carry it to them. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for Barbara. Come on, fellas, we're going to pray for Barbara. I think it's just about out.
I'm looking at nothing else.
You just go ahead and give everybody else their oil. Yes. God's good.
All the time.
God is good. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, well, Brother Doug, since he's the most anointed in here. After we say the Lord's Prayer, I want Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. Thy is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this family that you brought together. Father, I pray that you would put boldness in our hearts, your love in our hearts, that you would strengthen us to go forth in your name, that we would not be confused by what is going on around us, that you would give us clear focus on what you are doing in our lives, that we would share your love with all those around us. Be with us as we leave here this day, that we would go forth in your name. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.